Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 17 of Slam Fire Radio for August 8th, 2013. I'm your host, Matthew McClatchy.
I'm Trevor Frillott.
And joining us this week is the one and only Brian Holcomb. Did I get it that time?
It's a basic English name. You ought to be able to figure that out.
It was funnier that way.
Trevor, when he's drunk. Come on, Matthew.
Even in Canada, the Holcombs are pronounced Holcomb, Matthew.
They really are, I know.
Only we say Le Holcomb.
Le Holcomb, that's correct, eh?
Le Holcomb, eh? Welcome, eh?
So, Brian, you're from another country, I guess. One down south of us, apparently.
Right under our hat.
Right under our hat, yes. Mexico.
Hola.
So yes, you're a Utahian.
Utard.
Yeah, or Utard.
Utard. I wasn't gonna say it, but I let Trevor do it.
But it's not derogatory.
Okay. Well, we're gonna start with Brian, and Brian, maybe you could start off by telling us you know what? Forget it. We'll get into that later. Tell us what you did with guns this week.
No. Find out who he is first.
No,
why is he here?
No.
He's gonna build a suspense build?
Yeah, the suspense.
Come on. Everybody who listens to Slamfire probably listens to our show too, so they know who I am.
More than likely.
So. That's part of the plan.
I would hope so, but in all likelihood there's plenty who aren't. But what did I do in guns this week? Let's see. I went out to my local range, Range Masters of Utah, and I did some work. I did some training on their pop-up steel range with the Shot Timer app on my iPad.
Now, Brian,
and then, yes.
What do you mean by pop-up steel?
It's an indoor range, and they have three lanes that are separate from the rest of the range that have reactive steel targets that are pneumatically powered. So what you have is a bunch of steel torsos that are on posts, and then you have an 8-inch head, an 8-inch round plate to represent a head that is popped up pneumatically, and when you hit it, it falls over, and then you can reset them.
Oh, we're doing it wrong, Matthew.
I guess so.
We have to walk our lazy butts to the end of the range, stand the poppers up, walk back, shoot them down, walk down. Wait, we did have one ingenious fellow decide to put a rope on the plate rack this year for the first time in like 10 years, so that was innovative.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. So carry on, Brian.
Yeah, so this particular range, they have this pop-up steel range, and it's 8 targets. They've got 2 at 10 yards, 2 at 15, 2 at 20, and 2 at 25. And I was working on drawing and shooting quickly, and
Can you shoot these with any caliber up to a certain limit, or is it strictly handgun?
Handgun only, and they don't allow rimfire.
They don't allow rimfire?
Matthew, you're out.
No. So it's 8-inch knockdown steel, 2 targets at 10, 2 at 15, 2 at 20, 2 at 25. Pistol calibers only, no rimfire, because there's an increased risk of pieces of projectiles flying back and injuring you, apparently, with the rimfire, is what they found.
Interesting.
That's what I'm told. I don't know. I've never tested it.
I've never had a problem shooting steel with my rimfire. It's always splattered nicely, just like any other rounds. Never, ever have I been hit with slag from rimfire.
Neither have I, but, you know, I don't own the range. It's owned by a friend, and so I follow his rules.
The rules are rules, right? You follow them and you get to shoot and continue on. So, yeah, we'll save the complaining for me, and the rest of you guys can move on and keep shooting.
Yeah, but either way, so I was out there doing some work with the FNX 45 and my new Blade Tech holster.
Very nice.
Yes. And by the end of my practice session, I burned through about 250 rounds. My last three runs on those from, you know, I was running the shot timer off a random delay from the timer buzzing to me holstering and knocking down all eight plates. I had that down to 8.5 seconds.
That's not bad.
So I was
not
happy
bad
yes,
at all.
Sir. Yes, yeah. sir. That's nice. From the draw?
From the draw.
Incredible.
Now, I'm looking at this FNX here. This is a double action, single action?
Yes, but because it has a safety,
you can go cocked and locked.
I can go cocked and locked.
Very
which
nice.
Which is great because I pretty much learned to shoot with a 1911, and I still carry one. And
now,
so,
the question all Canadians want to know, is that your carry gun?
Actually, this is my primary carry gun right now.
And you carry it cocked and locked or hammer down?
I carry this normally. Well, when I'm carrying it concealed, I carry it in the tactical man bag. Because with my job, I do all the maintenance for a property management company, so I repair rental properties. Wearing a holster doesn't work very well. So I carry the tactical man bag that also has an extra knife and a light and a medical kit and stuff in it. And when I'm carrying in the bag, I carry it decocked. But if I'm carrying it in a holster, I'd carry it cocked and locked.
Cool. Very good.
And that's how I shoot it in competition. And
now
then,
what? Sorry.
Go ahead, Matthew.
I was just going to ask, now what competitions do you normally participate in?
I primarily participate in three gun.
Okay.
That's American three gun, where we can use more than one gun on a stage.
Correct. Yep. That's what we do here at Trevor's Range whenever we play.
At Restigouche?
Yeah, Restigouche.
Yeah, it's like globally, only IPSC doesn't have multi-gun. However, because multi-gun is catching on globally,
they're
USPSA's
changing.
USPSA's had multi-gun for a while, and I think it's due in part to Three Gun Nation. IPSC Canada is now currently in the works of developing a multi-gun rule book, so we're finally going to do multi-gun, and then hopefully
oh,
that'll
very cool.
global as well. Yeah, I mean, IPSC's in 84 countries around the world. It didn't get that way by, you know, staying in the dark ages, right? So,
yes.
They've
I'm
got
with
to,
you.
They got to catch
yeah, it's
up.
Yeah, it's not cowboy action or anything.
Yeah, that's not in 84 countries.
No, but it is in the dark ages.
Two, I think.
Right.
we leave that for George Hatch and the others who want to stay in the 19th century. But
cool.
Last night I went back to that same range and I shot they call it a fun shoot. It's just a mini three stage IDPA style match. And I shot it, and that was the third time I've shot an IDPA rules match, and it just confirmed to me that I do not like shooting IDPA at all.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of that on a lot of that chatter on Facebook lately. A lot of people saying there's a lot of really funky rules, and you just don't have the same flow that you get from IPSC or USPSA, where you can kind of run around and kind of make your own decisions out of how to run the stage. So
that's it exactly.
And it's interesting that we talk about IDPA and rules. Brian would probably be more familiar with this than I'm not sure. Maybe you are, Matthew. But IDPA came out with a new rule book this year, and Koski was reviewing the changes on the gun dudes, going back about 2 months now, probably.
Yeah.
And ironically, all the changes are in line with rules that we already have in IPSC. And one of the most noticeable differences was you're now allowed to change magazines on the move. Where before you were required to wait until you were behind cover to change magazines. And if IDPA is supposed to represent a more realistic type shooting sport, nobody's going to change magazines. In a real life situation, you'll change your magazine when you darn well need to, no matter where you are. If you're moving from point A to point B, you're not going to wait till you get there. If
that's
you're
right,
then can do it on the move, you will.
Yep.
So that rule made no sense in IDPA.
Well, and IDPA, which I'm not an expert on, so if I get this wrong, you can direct hate mail to me, brian@politicsandguns.com, and I will cheerfully read it and then ignore it. Well, unless you have something intelligent to say, in which we'll engage in a conversation.
Well, but you are talking... never mind.
Yeah. We'll save the jokes on Trevor for later. But IDPA... You are, if my memory serves me correctly, you are required to reload at slide lock, or you have to retain your magazine.
Yeah.
So you have to pull the magazine out, stick it in your pocket, and then grab another magazine. And for me, I compete to play a game. This is my recreational time. I've given up on fishing and some other things so that I can buy ammo components. I want to go play a game that's fun, and I want to, half the fun for me is trying to game out a stage and figure out how I'm going to shoot it, and then see if I can remember that plan after the buzzer goes off.
That's always the hard part.
Brian, you need to switch then, because that's what USPSA and IPTC is all about.
That's exactly where I'm going.
That's one of the rules in IDPA that I actually like or would tolerate or think makes sense, because you take RCMP, for example. They're also trained to do magazine changes with retention. They will never allow ammo to go on the ground. And we have an RCMP member, Officer Frank, who shoots IPSC with us, and he always goes to slide lock. He's never even gotten into this magazine with retention stuff while on the move. It's just his training says shoot to slide lock. Never leave ammo on the ground that might save your life.
Yeah. The other thing that I have not liked about the IDPA that I've shot is that every stage is laid out very precisely, and in the walkthrough they tell you you will from this position behind this cover, from this side of the cover, you will engage targets T1 through 4 with two shots apiece to the chest. And then you will move to position 2, and you will engage targets T5 and T6 with two shots to the chest and one to the head. And it's regimented. There is one way to run it, and whoever does that best wins.
Yeah, see, it takes the creativity out of it.
Exactly.
But by forcing all the shooters to shoot it the same way, then that's one element that they're controlling for, right? You're not going to have a gamer game it, and it's going to be down to the best shooter shooting it that way. Now, there may be a better way to shoot it, but I believe that's not the point. If everybody shoots it the same way, then that's one element taken out of it. IPSC, for example, we get in that argument all the time. Well, if you shoot it that way, it contravenes the stage. Well, if you don't like that, go shoot IDPA.
Yeah. Yep. And that's my feeling. And that is nothing more than my personal feeling. Is I like that component of trying to game it out best, and then seeing how other people have approached the same problem and going, oh, I didn't think of that.
I love when that happens. I'll be sitting there and I'll have my stage all planned. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do this. And the guy before me, he goes and I go, ooh, didn't see that. I'm gonna do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a that component of the game that I really like, and so.
So you like the freestyle component.
Yeah, I am not by any means saying that IDPA sucks, don't shoot IDPA. IDPA is not the game that I want to play. That's all it is.
Very diplomatic of you.
Well,
even though it does suck, but
yeah.
Cuz if IDPA is your thing, like, Steve Kosky and Tommy over at Gun Dudes, IDPA is their thing. Good for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
And anytime,
like some people watch NASCAR. I don't look down my nose at them just because they
go faster and left.
Ooh, they're making a left turn and another left turn and a straightaway and a left turn. I'm sitting here going, like Trevor probably does at work most days.
One of my buddies watches NASCAR, and he explains to me all of the finer points of the sport. And there are a lot of finer points to it. I mean, we sit here and make fun of it. But, yeah. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of a funny example, though.
I don't care. Anyway. I can't get the mainspring back.
Aside from that, I've been processing all this brass that my wife picked up during the last three-gun match that I shot.
I came home
with over 60 pounds of brass that she scrounged up at the range while
very nice.
I was shooting. And I have a 5-gallon bucket of 223 that has to be processed through the single stage press. So
that sounds like fun.
I have work for the winter laid out for me now.
I guess so.
I'm with you. I haven't done a thing with any of the brass that I've either shot or collected all summer long, all since the spring, since, you know, the outdoor season started again for us.
Mostly because reloading bulk ammo here is kind of pointless when we can pick up the Norinco stuff for so cheap.
Yeah, but that includes all my pistol stuff, too.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, so that's what I've done with guns. How about you guys?
Well, I'm going to jump in real quick, let everybody know what I did before Trevor goes off for a half an hour. I didn't do anything. So, Trevor, what did you do?
I basically
got home from the Nationals, and I haven't even taken my gun out of its case or cleaned it or taken it, you know, nothing. Just kind of, it's sitting there. And I had thought about going out today to the gravel pit or the range with the 22 and just going to plink and have some fun, but it rained, so that nixed that. And I've just been kind of gun-free this week, which has kind of been depressing, so I got to work on that. Maybe tomorrow I'll get out and do something fun.
Oh, messed up.
So what, did you come back from the Nationals just a bit kind of exhausted?
A little bit, not bad. It was actually not as exhausting as I thought it was going to be. You know, I just haven't, you know, it's just been busy, just haven't had a chance to get back out there, so.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Is that a term that you're actually familiar with? Exhaustipated?
I'm going to say no, but I think I understand the context.
Okay, then I won't create an edit point for you.
All right, very good. I like the way you think. So, Trevor, have you finished fixing your gun yet?
No.
So are you going to be distracted while you're talking about what you've done this week?
I'm a dyslexic and ADD. I can multitask. I can tell you what I did and work on my 6A6.
All right, go ahead.
Remember the when we were at the charity shoot, we went to see 10X?
Yes.
And he gave me those really neat springs that you can adjust on your main spring.
I remember.
So I popped out the regular spring and I put in the spring that 10X gave me, and it was fantastic. It was super light. It was like 5 pounds. I was like, this is fantastic. However, I'm going to take it out, put the regular one back in because this gun still has a place in the home for self-defense. And I want to test the gun with that new spring first before I just put it away and forget that it's in there, pull it out, and it goes click instead of bang.
Right.
Anyway, I put the spring back in and there, put the screw back in, but the upper part of the main spring came unhooked from inside the gun. So now I got to take off the side plate and find out what moved loose. And anyway, that's what I'm doing right now. Yeah, I did most of that while listening to Brian hate on IDPA. All right. It's been a classic Trevor week. I've been to the range twice yesterday. I was there for 6 hours. It was awesome. AR-15 build, my quasi M4 clone. I'm trying to build a Colt M4, and it's going to look like a Colt M4 with the exception of the barrel. The barrel's going to be a 16.5 inch. Even though it's going to have a carbine rifle length system on a 16.5 inch barrel, I imagine they work. I don't know if there's a huge downside. Yeah. Are you, Brian, familiar with any complaints or anything about it?
The only complaint that I'm aware of and the only thing I've noticed between a carbine length gas system and a mid-length on a 16-inch barrel is that the recoil impulse with the carbine gas seems to be a little bit stronger.
Okay.
Or I think it's not so much what is it? The actual amount of force, something to do with the duration of the recoil impulse is how it's been explained to me in the past. Okay. But either way, it feels like there's more recoil with a carbine system than there is with a mid-length.
So it feels more like a real gun instead of just the poodle shooter 223.
No, it's not that much.
No, it's not that much.
Even
that's funny.
An AR-10 doesn't feel like a real gun.
No.
Now,
no, the recoil system is nice.
I've had one AR-15. I've shot one AR-15 that actually has bruised my shoulder, and it actually I still have the same rifle, just very different setup. And that was when I had the CMMG short stroke piston on it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and it it was heavy in the recoiling, huh?
Well, you got all that reciprocating mass up top slamming back, right? It's not like a burst of gas.
Yeah, I was quite surprised the first time that I shot it with the adjustable carbine stock on it to find that I had the little bit of a purple bruise from shooting an AR-15. I look at that and I go, wow, I am getting weak.
Well, I think I
And then I realized it was because the gun was not set up the way that it should have been.
Yes.
So now it's a direct gas gun.
Yeah. Stoner's proud of you. So what started this, I wanted to go from the M4 stock back to the A2 on my STI. I also wanted to go to a competition length handguard, low profile gas block, and put an optic on it. So I had some extra parts, plus now I had a whole receiver extension assembly because I went back to the A2, but I didn't have a rifle length buffer. So that came in today. So I threw that in the STI, took that out and tested it. So as far as this build goes, I contacted Arms East in Newfoundland and got a stag lower, and they said they would check the warehouse, and if they had a stag upper, they'd send that along too. If they send me both, that means that the only thing left is the carry handle with the sight built in, which I ordered from Brownells for like $99. So it should have no problem shipping over here because it'll be under the $100 ITAR limit. I think that's it. I think that's all I've got left. Jeff Reese is sending me out front sight assembly. There's already a front sight on the barrel, but it didn't have a post or a pin or anything or spring like that. So that's on the way. The lower parts kit and the upper parts kit came in from Brownells yesterday, maybe the day before. So I'm pretty excited, but I'm probably going to sell it because of the STI that I bought at Nationals just to help pay down that credit card bill. What else? Yeah, so guns are for sale, and some guns are being sold. I think I'm going to sell the Glock 20. Well, for sure, I'm going to sell my Glock 35 with 10 mags, all of the extra parts that I have for it, including two complete triggers, multiple recoil springs, multiple Zev spring kits, factory parts, the Sierra Speed holster, belt, mag pouches. I'm looking at about, I think I said 14, negotiable, but not by much, I don't think.
And you can't ship that to the States, can you?
Yeah, we can. We just got to do paperwork. Yeah, we just got to do some paperwork to export it. If somebody wants to do the U.S. side of the paperwork and pay whatever fees are, you know, it can be done.
I don't think it would be worth it.
No, I mean, you could pick them up over there. If all the parts come from Zev. And there's probably $1,200 worth of Zev parts in the gun.
Oh, very good, Trevor. No, you know, you don't need to turn your cell phone off or a podcast or anything.
Do I ever?
No, you really don't.
No, we don't. No, we don't expect common courtesy from you, Trevor. It's okay.
Hey, you know what? It is my 10-year anniversary, and if that had been the wife, I would have dropped you two faster than a hot tamale. So get over it.
Well, if you hadn't, I would have been very, very worried.
There you go. So it was Jason Burns.
Oh, well, that's okay. You can call him back later.
Yeah. So,
actually, I do have something I want to ask the listeners. I have the 22 conversion kit that Filthy sent up for my AR build. And it he being the nice guy squirrel. That he sent it up broken. Yes. Oh, definitely squirrel. He sent it up broken. So, I attempted to fix it, as you guys may remember, and it failed miserably. So, what I'm asking is any listeners who live in the States willing to do me a solid, order the part, and I will pay you. We cannot, literally cannot buy it as a Canadian. They will not let us. It's crazy.
Who made the kit?
CMMG.
Okay. You know what? I really like CMMG. I like a lot of their stuff. I didn't like the piston system on the rifle, but I've been very impressed with them. In fact, I even had to deal with their warranty department, and they were awesome this year. What part do you need?
It's the I can send you a link to the exact one. Okay. I don't know what it's called. It's the thing that the stuff goes on. It slides back and forth and does the whatchamacallit.
So you
know?
You guys will work this out after the show, right?
Yeah, we'll work that out after the show.
Right. Yeah,
definitely.
We'll talk about it after the show.
Sure. Fantastic.
If I can, may I?
Yeah, you go ahead. Okay. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
if I can sell my Glock 22. It'll be to get an optic for my STI because that's it. Now my STI build is almost done, except I need a 1-4 AR style, 3-gun style scope for it.
Well, I'm actually really sorry. I thought you were done. I didn't mean to interrupt there. I was going to do that whenever you were done. I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Don't apologize. Just be quiet. So
I'm going to hang up on you again.
What else? Okay, so yesterday I went out and sighted in my 17 HMR, put a new Bushnell Banner scope on it back in the spring, and of course
I see you bought a boatload of ammo for that thing too.
We'll get to that. So yesterday I tried 17 grain and I tried the Hornady 20 grain. The 17 grain actually seemed to be better. I was confused when I was out shooting gophers in the face with Jeff Reese. I thought it was 20 grain that we were using, but primarily he says his gun likes the 17 grain better. So,
you gotta think about that for a second, eh? 17 grains. That's like nothing. No. That's like more than a powder charge for that's less than a powder charge in a 223.
It is. Like,
Such a small little pill, but like so devastating.
It's like a little pile of your nail clippings.
Yeah, yep. That's funny. I'm clipping my nails right now.
But let me tell you, it makes a mess of a curl. So, yep. I'm trying to get out there when there's no wind so I can really get a true sense of what this gun will do. But every time there's just a little bit of wind, I really need a dead calm day. I'm shooting in wind that I think – really, it shouldn't affect it. Maybe it is. If the little bit of wind that I'm shooting in is affecting it, wow, they really are wind sensitive. But I'm just not getting the group that I would like.
Yeah, you ought to get a 17 Hornet.
They are wind sensitive, but I don't think they're that wind sensitive. I would say if you were less than 5 kilometers an hour, you're not going to notice much. What are you shooting, 100 yards or 200?
100 meters.
Oh, 100 meters? Yeah, no. Even like a 5 kilometer an hour wind isn't going to really... And that's a breeze, right? So
what I bought was the Bushnell Banner made for the 17 HMR with bullet drop compensator target for it. It goes 100, 150, 175, 200 or something like that. So once I get a good zero at 100, then I'll start playing with it on paper, see exactly where it drops on the different distances. So listeners, if you have a 17 HMR, any make or model brand, I'd love to know what kind of group you're getting at 100 and what ammo you're using. So give me a shout, please. Then I went back to work on the my Thompson's Interventure Predator with some 40 grain ammo, some 50 grain ammo, and again some 55. And I thought I had a really nice group going with the 40. 50, not so much. I think I'm going to try some 40 and some 45 grain projectiles next, because so far the ammo that the gun likes best is Winchester White Box 45 grain jacket hollow point. So when I get back to work on load development for that, I'll work on the 40 grain stuff. Toby sent me up some projectiles, sent me some 40 and some 50. So I'm going to play with those over the winter if I get the time.
That's a 1 in 12 twist barrel, right?
14.
1 in 14. Wow. Yeah, no.
So it needs light, right?
Very light, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's almost 22. You could, 22 is a 1 in 16. So
yeah.
Yeah. And what else did I do? I had the, I had my XCR out, and I was checking the scope at 100 with the hand loads that I made for that and the NORC ammo. And the NORC ammo was as accurate as my hand loads. I've had no issues with this NORC ammo. None. No kind of keyhole stuff that somebody was yapping about. I mean, it's hot, but it groups really well out of the XCR with a 1.9 twist barrel. Shot the NEA. I put the Bravo Company Machine? BC, hold on.
Bravo Company Manufacturing, I think.
Yeah. So BCM Gunfighter charging handle. You saw it, eh, Matthew?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome.
That is the only charge handle recommended by Joe over at Crusader Weaponry.
Oh, nice. I love it. It fits good. It works good. And after that, Harold and Nick showed up, and Darren, to shoot Harold's 308 and Nick's new 270. A couple of people in the crowd were recoil sensitive, I guess is a polite way of putting it. But Nick and I, took about 3 shots with it just to double check and make a couple adjustments for him. He sighted in his new Savage Axis stainless steel rifle at 100 meters, and he's loving it. It's got some thump, you know, it's a light gun, but here he is, 14 years old, shooting it better than the other adults on the range, that's for sure.
What kind of groups was it getting?
I think our last group was about, and I mean, it's not really fair, it's a 3-shot group. maybe inch and a half, 2 inch, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But
it's not bad.
Yeah, it was kind of rushed. I mean, that's the first ammo he ever put through it.
Right.
He didn't follow any break-in procedure like I would have, but he, you know, he did clean the barrel before he got there, and that was just shoot a couple of shots, let the gun cool. Shoot a couple of shots, let the gun cool, which is important. They made sure they didn't overheat the gun because I, you know, I feel the 270 is a pretty stank round, right? I mean, it's a neck.
Oh yeah, it's definitely hot.
It's, yeah,
it's screaming. So
yeah.
But before that, actually, sad to report. I don't know if we talked about it in the last show, but the two people that I was coaching IPSC this summer both got disqualified at the Nationals.
Yeah. Yeah, so ooh. So take my advice. Don't get coaching tips from Trevor.
Well, you know, here's the thing, jackass. I was their shooting coach. I was coaching them on the fundamentals of shooting. We never got far enough in our training to discuss tips and techniques and tricks for breaking down a stage or shooting IPSC. I was teaching them how to shoot a handgun.
I understand
that, right?
It's more fun making fun of you, though. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And
I'm still
going
to place the blame on you.
And yeah, you and everybody else in the club. I haven't been listening to this for days now. But hey, guess who else got DQ'd?
John Evers.
Guess who
John
else?
John Gould.
Guess who else?
Mass
director's wife?
Noel. Yeah, yeah. Lynn Noel. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was unfortunate. What happened with her?
Just a total brain fart. I mean, it was completely safe because the gun was unloaded. But she got to the end of the tank stage. And
yep.
Turned around after clearing the gun and pointed uprange.
Right, turned the wrong way.
Yeah, and guess who the arrow was?
Her husband?
Yeah.
Serge had to DQ his wife?
Yep.
This
is the person in charge of the stats.
Yep.
That's okay. The last three-gun match I shot was our club's big three-gun match for the year, and our match director had to DQ himself.
Oh,
because he runs open division. He's got one of those 28-round X-rails on his shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And he accidentally shot a birdshot steel target with a slug, which is a match DQ.
Yep, that's a no-no.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah, so even our match director.
Yeah.
So Remy came out to shoot with me yesterday, and his simple goal for the training session was he needed to have a positive experience. He's very discouraged and beating himself up about what happened. Never thought in a million years he would ever break 90. Still can't fully comprehend how it happened because it all happened so fast. And I explained to him what the witnesses saw, and that didn't help because I told him about the one gentleman's comment who was standing at the safety table who looked down his muzzle.
Yeah, that's never fun.
I shouldn't have told him that.
No.
kind of upset him again. But he just wanted to get out and shoot some targets and practice transitions. So him and I shot the house 4 or 5 times. I had a smoking run on it one time. About
yeah.
Smoking for my lard body. But,
did you have a smoking run on it during the Nationals?
Sadly, no. So, this, you know, at least I knew.
So how'd you do during the Nationals there, Trev?
36. 35 or 36. I was looking at it a while ago. Harold and
bad.
I, you know how Harold and I, my nemesis, always go back and forth. He beat me by less than 0.25%.
Very nice.
No. That's like getting an A and your father slapping you and saying, why didn't you get an A+? So, but
36th isn't bad. I think I came in 39th in my division. So
I'm on the first base.
But how many people in your division?
90.
Maybe. Oh, okay. Yeah, a close comparison. Then there's 101 in mine. So yeah, close. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there was 90 because one of the guys from this year's Black Badge finished 90.
Right. Right. Gotcha.
But, yeah. Encouraging though, even though both Harold and I feel like we shot the worst match that we shot all summer, the two gentlemen who beat us last year at Provincials, well, we smoked them.
You both beat them.
Yeah.
Yep.
So again,
so that's good. I mean,
yeah.
So locally anyway, you did well against the local competitors. It's just, you know, when you open it up to the entire country and you get some of the best shooters in the country coming, I mean, finishing, you know, in the 30s, whenever you have the best people in the world there and you have like about 100 competitors, that's not bad. That's like top third.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at.
It's not archery because in archery, you know, I was consistently top 15 and then top 10. Top 20, top 15, and then the last couple of years I was in the top 10, top 3, and one particular or twice, once at the door, and one at the doors. And so anyway, it's a much stiffer competition in the handgun shooting world than it was in the archery world. But yeah,
definitely.
You know, I'm
because
still,
it's more manly.
That's
yeah,
correct.
It sure is, yeah. Yeah.
One of those Legolas elves running around with bows and arrows and LARPing
right.
and whatnot.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
But, you know, if we could get as many people to join IPSC after watching Triple Tap as we have joined Archery after watching The Hunger Games,
we'd be all set. Yeah, this is too bad place. Triple Tap didn't quite do so well in the box offices.
Yeah. B-movie. Okay, so today I went out and I tried this 36-yard zero that Daniel Shaw was talking about, and then it came up again in another podcast recently. Was it you guys, Brian, that was talking about that?
On with the AR?
Yeah. Somebody else brought it up.
I don't think that I have, although that's actually what I've zeroed my 3-gun rifle at.
And what's the barrel length on that?
I'm running 16-inch barrel.
Okay.
And I sighted it in to zero at 35 with my 69 grade Match Kings.
Uh-huh. Where's that hitting at 100? How low?
It hits about 3.5 inches high at 100.
3.5 inches high. Okay, that's interesting. Now, today, I sighted in my three rifles, my XCR with an 18.5-inch barrel, my STI with the 16 or 16.5, and my NEA with a 14.5 barrel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The irons were already done on my NEA for the last 3-gun match I shot, because I just shot irons, and then today I wanted to sight in my EOTech for that same distance. So, zeroed at 36 with the NEA, and I put a steel gong. Matthew, you know the steel gong I have that's really beat up? It's got my initials on the back of it. Not the one Curtis made me, but the one Jason made me?
Yes.
Is that about a 6-inch?
4-inch? Sure. We'll
call it a 6-inch. At 100, I had to hold the sight right on the bottom edge of the gong to get good hits on the gong.
That okay, makes sense. Right for 100 yards.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, why does it make sense if Brian was high and I'm low?
You are. If you're aiming low, you're hitting high.
Right. Yeah. Geez, never mind. Sorry, dyslexic. So yeah. both the NEA, I was holding low because I was hitting high. Man. Anyway, both the NEA okay. with the 14.5-inch barrel and the SDI with the 16.5-inch barrel were doing that. Now, how many inches did you say you were high, Brian, at 100?
He said about three and a half.
Okay.
About 3.5, and that particular load apexes at like 5.9 inches and recrosses zero at 290.
That's a nice long range. Okay. That's nice. Well,
that's the idea.
I like the 69 grain Match King.
Yeah.
With 55 grain, Matthew, generally you hold high at 300 and you get a minute of man.
Right.
Was yep. a 36-yard zero, and I did it in yards, not meters. So yep. it worked out with my NEA and my STI. But with my XCR with the irons, I needed somebody to spot me. I have no idea where I was going. Maybe I was going over the top. I'm not sure, but we'll have to try it together sometime, Matthew. And
sure.
see where that's hitting. So those three guns were done today. And then my 5.97, I wanted to test that Nikon with the bullet draw compensating turrets.
Yep.
So I zeroed that at 50. There's quite a bit of wind, and I was really impressed at how well this grouped in the wind. I was shooting the 333 Winchester bulk pack.
Look, I keep saying that stuff's good ammo.
You're right, man. I shot a couple of groups probably better with that rifle today than I've shot at 50 with my Savage Mark II.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, and then I adjusted it to 100 and was hitting the gong with it at 100 according to the scope. So, what kind of group I would have got on paper, I didn't even bother because it was too windy and it was running out of time, but it's working well. And then, as you saw on Facebook, I brought home approximately $250 worth of 0.17 HMR ammo. Why, you may ask?
Because. When do you have too much ammo? There's only one time. There you go.
You're swimming.
If you're swimming, that's it.
Yes, I returned.
If your helm cannot contain it, you may have too much.
I had one of the original 5.97 rifles that was in the plastic stock with the scope on it. It was no good. Couldn't hit anything with it, even at 25. And the barrel just looked bad looking down the barrel. So I brought it back and told them to order me a Remington 700 Tactical. Just to apply the money from the rifle towards the price of that rifle, which was going to make it affordable. It's going to be like $400 or something. That was in April. I went back in June, got their rifle ordered. Nope, still didn't have the rifle ordered. We'll go ahead and order it. I went back in today, says, what's going on with that rifle? What are they doing? Are they going to give you credit towards another rifle or what? And he said, it's up to me. I have to give you the credit. So if you want, you know, I haven't seen you in a while, so I didn't know what to do, and I didn't order a rifle. I knew he was gonna. This has been a common occurrence with this guy, right? So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna take $250 worth of bullets. And he's like, sure, help yourself. You can never say I'm a d**ker. Oh, sorry. That's what he said. Sorry.
Right.
Anyway, you're gonna get that, right?
I'm gonna get that. Yeah, one way or another.
All right,
Trevor, so, you're a d**k.
Oh. I have to.
Sorry,
Brian, you're a prince. Thank you for making Matthew
of darkness.
Edit. Yes. So I walked out with all the 17 HMR that he had, and yeah, and I hope my gun starts to like it. Otherwise, I got a lot of mediocre ammo. But it's the CCI TNT 17 grain and the Hornady 20 grain. What is it? It's 20 grain. It's 20 grain XTP.
Isn't it a 20 grain VMAX?
No. Hornady XTP 20 grain. Brian, or not Brian, Jeff Reese had some out there that had a little ballistic tip on it. I thought this is all hollow point stuff. Anyway, the 17 grain CCI stuff, that's what I turned a crow inside out with at over 100 yards. So I know it works. And I saw a coyote on the way to the range yesterday.
Oh, yeah? Did you shoot it?
Not a rock, just a coyote.
Huh.
No, I didn't get a chance. He was running across. He wasn't a big one. He was like 35 pounds. He's like what a coyote is supposed to be, right?
Just a little guy, huh?
Yeah, so.
Huh.
Let me check my notes here. Yeah, that's it.
Cool.
That's
very good.
Why I did this week in guns in 2 days. And then I came home and cleaned the guns, of course.
Of course.
And then I broke my 686, of course.
That's always fun, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Well, I guess we'll...
That's pretty much the time allocated for the show, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We've got about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
So, Brian, what do you like about 3-gun?
No, really. What do you like about 3-gun? Yeah.
You know, it's for me, it's a challenge. It's a definite challenge because it's not just, you know, shoot. It's not just shooting. It's shooting and reloading 3 different guns. It's remembering your sight holdover on 3 different guns, and figuring out how to get everything onto your belt and make it work. Is there's equipment challenges that you know that IPSC or USPSA you would not have. You know, you run CR speed belt, you have a speed holster, and you have a couple of, well, 4 or 5 mag pouches, right? And you're good to go. I'm, you know, when I'm shooting a 3-gun match, I've actually waiting for Jason Christensen over at Concealment Solutions to finish some custom mag pouches for me. But on my CR speed belt, I have a holster.
Hold on. What kind of custom mag pouches? And will these be available to the Kinect market? For AR-15 mags?
These are custom for me right now. Although Jason's shop is about a mile and a half away.
Don't pull the neighbor card. Don't pull the neighbor card. Now. You can't hog all the good products to yourself.
But I came to him and said, you know, I am having a really hard time finding stuff for the FNX 45 and finding mag pouches that I want to use. It should be, but, you know, people go and they buy Glocks.
Did you see Mr. Colion Noir's recent post where he talks about his 5 ugliest guns and the Glock is on there?
Well, the Glock is an ugly gun.
I don't know if it deserves to be top 5, but yeah, it's not a pretty gun. No, you're right.
Yeah, top 5.
I don't know. But either way, you know, I went to him because trying to find pistol mag pouches that will fit double stack 45 magazines that don't take up a ton of space on the belt has been hard for me to find. So what I asked him to do is to make me 2 double mag pouches on a Blade Tech lock so that I can attach them and move them around on my belt easily, that instead of having the magazine-oriented bullets facing forward, bullets facing out. So they take up less
yep.
real estate on the belt.
Yep, makes sense.
So I've got him doing that, and he's doing a pair of AR mag pouches as well for me on the tech locks.
Cool.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm still waiting for those to show up. But the shotgun, the carrying around enough shotgun shells is the biggest challenge there.
Now, here, answer me this. How in the heck do you grab four shells and feed them into your gun without dropping them all over the place? I've been trying this. Like, there must be some sort of technique that I'm missing.
Dude, even I can do that. Jason Burns lent me that shell carrier that you pull out four at a time.
Yeah.
The strippers?
Yeah. Sure. He showed me a technique. You go down with your index and your pinky spread. You have your middle and your ring finger together. Okay.
Yeah.
You reach over the front of the shells with your middle finger and your ring finger, the back of the shells with your thumb, and you drag them up all at the same time, orientated towards the feeding tube, and just one at a time, shove them in with your thumb.
I just, maybe my hands aren't big enough. I don't know. I've been trying it, and I can't.
You know what? My first match, I used those tactical strippers, except I used ones that hold six shells apiece, so I grabbed them three at a time.
Right.
And I don't use those. I do not use those at all. I'm actually using they call it the load two or dual load method, depending on who you're talking to.
Right, you hold two of them and shove them both in at the same time.
Yeah, they're in the carrier, facing end to end. So you just grab two of them in your fist, and slide them into the gun two at a time.
So do you carry them brass forward then? So when you reach down, you grab two with your thumb on the front brass, I guess, then flip them around and jam them in? Is that how it goes?
No, I've got them oriented brass up, and they're mounted vertically. So I take my shotgun and I drop it down and flip it over, so I've got the loading port up.
Right.
And with my left hand, with my support hand, I just grab two shells, and my thumb is over the back of the back shell.
Right.
And you get that nose started and then just shove them in with the thumb. And
very
when
good.
I don't screw anything up, right now I can take my shotgun from empty tube to loaded with eight shells in 6 or 7 seconds. It should be down to four or five.
Well, that's not bad, though. That's pretty good. I'll have to give that method a try, too.
Yeah, I will send you guys some links and pictures.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Of my gear later.
Very nice.
You know,
well, that's
so
cool.
What I have for the shotgun shells is I've got six carriers that will eat that. Excuse me, I've got three carriers that will hold six shells apiece, and those are on tech locks as well. So. When I'm going out for three gun, I've got a pistol in a holster, 18 shotgun shells all stacked on top of each other across the front of me, and then I've got pistol magazines and then rifle magazines reaching around the back.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of gear to be carrying on your belt.
It is. And that's and equipment's one of the challenges, and it's also one of the fun things because there are lots of different ways to try and do stuff, and there's equipment for it. So if you're a gear whore, Trevor, you know, you can buy up tons of stuff and try it all out and decide what works best, because there's lots of solutions to the same problem.
It's funny because where we're at right now, Brian, we look like refugees shooting three gun. Like, we got nothing fancy going on. We got shotgun shells in pockets. And I got a real big fancy upgrade last year. A friend of mine gave me a Blackhawk leg mag pouch holder for AR-15s. Like, so now I've got that on my leg that holds two mags. And
yeah, I tried to buy one of those at Nationals, but the packing and pink lady, she didn't have them whenever I went to go get them.
So, I mean, other than that, it's like, I'm telling you, right now it's pretty ghetto. It's shotgun shells in a little drop pouch, like what you would put chalk in for climbing mountains, hanging on your belt. That's what
yeah,
I use.
Yeah, just in a little dump pouch.
Yeah, a little dump pouch.
AR mags in your back pocket, you know.
Yeah. Now, Owen,
I've shot three three gun or two gun matches with rifle mags in my back pocket.
Yeah.
So
we're kind of, that's where we're still at, because we just, you know, the only true three gun that, and it's not even a true three gun, it's the closest we've come to real three gun, because we adopted the USPSA rules for transitions and retaining firearms that were loaded and safety. So other than that, what we've shot in the past was IPSC 3-gun, which was like a stage of shotgun, a stage of rifle, and a stage of pistol. Fredericton did a match this year with some transitions, which was kind of cool. First time they did that. But last year was the first time that we had done it before at the Rescue Gun Club. We're going to do it again and follow the USPSA model even more closely this year.
That's another thing that's fun, though, is with transitions, especially on a stage where you're going to use pistol, rifle, and shotgun. When you're shooting a handgun match, you have one chance on the stage to screw up on drawing your gun.
Yeah, well, you got three.
You're shooting three guns, and you're abandoning each one as you finish using it. So you may start out, for example, the stage that I RO'd for the Cedar Valley Multigun Championship, our club's big three gun match in July.
Now, what rules are they following?
We follow Three Gun Nation rules.
Oh, okay.
Because we're a Three Gun Nation affiliated club. In fact, I just got my Three Gun Nation membership card in the mail yesterday.
Gun fixed.
Good.
Hooray! But this stage, you started with your rifle staged over at one side of the stage, loaded, round chambered, and safetied. Ready for you to pick up, flip the safety, and start shooting with.
On a table or in a barrel, or how do you guys stage them?
It's a vertical stand made by MGM Target specifically for staging long guns.
So it's staged
at an angle with the buttstock pointing toward you, so the muzzle's pointing at the ground, but it's on a 2x4 as opposed to being in the ground.
So this
stage, you started with your rifle loaded and staged, your pistol loaded, ready, and holstered, and your shotgun loaded and at low ready. And there were a number of targets that required birdshot, and you had to shoot birdshot from at least two firing positions to be able to get all the birdshot targets, plus three silhouettes at 100 yards that you had to hit with a slug. And then a bunch of knockdown steel targets that you could engage with birdshot or with your pistol, whichever you chose. And then at the other side of the stage, we had a big ramp built. It was supposed to kind of resemble like you're shooting off the roof of a house, that had a bunch of paper targets in front of it. And then we had the little 4-inch hostage swingers attached to the silhouettes. So you ran over there, and you could engage the paper with either your pistol or your rifle, whichever you chose to do. But if you shot your rifle, you had to be on top of that roof and then shoot the 100-yard swingers. So you are starting with your shotgun. You have to load your shotgun at least once, because you're either going to start out with slugs in the tube and then have to add some birdshot to get all the birdshot targets, or you're going to shoot the birdshot targets and then have to load slugs in. Then you abandon the shotgun, grab your pistol, shoot whatever you're going to shoot with the pistol, run over to where the rifle's staged, abandon the pistol, and then pick up your rifle. So you have multiple opportunities to screw up and get a DQ.
Sounds like fun.
Because the way the rules work for abandoning a loaded gun is it has to be on safety, or the gun has to be completely empty. No round in the magazine, no round in the chamber.
Also has to be in a retention device, right?
Has to be in a barrel
when
or something?
Abandon it? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's always a bucket or barrel provided.
Yeah.
That's designated for dumping. Right? We actually use just cheap, like, office trash cans that we put some carpet in.
Right.
That would work
actually
too.
What we use for our handgun dumps. But following Three Gun Nation rules, abandoning a handgun, it just had to be on safe if it had a safety. If you're shooting a striker-fired gun without a safety, like a Glock, an M&P, or an XD, all you had to do was drop your gun into the handgun dump bucket, and you're good to go.
Are you guys moving downrange in front of those guns, or are you doing everything lateral?
No. Now, this particular stage had a lateral fault line all the way across. Okay.
Are you ever moving downrange of a abandoned firearm?
I think you're allowed to if the gun
as a general rule, no. But when you abandon a firearm, it's required to be in a safe condition and nobody can touch it until
the RO clears it.
RO is there and clears it.
In USPSA, you're allowed to go downrange of an abandoned firearm, provided that it's in a retention device. So if I start off and I draw my pistol and I shoot three paper targets, and I need to move forward and retrieve my rifle and shoot some more paper targets, I have to either holster the pistol safe or put it inside a box. Well, the pistol's a bad example because we usually just reholster. But let's say I start off with a shotgun and I shoot some poppers. And there's five rounds in a shotgun and three poppers. And the shotgun's still loaded. In USPSA, you're allowed to safety the shotgun, put it muzzle down inside a barrel, and then run down range in front of it, pick up your rifle, and shoot some more targets.
Yeah, because if that gun were to go off, it's going to hit the ground.
If the stage is written that way.
Yeah.
It's not
if the stage is written that way, you can do it.
Now, so you can do that in Three Gun Nation?
Yeah, Three Gun Nation, my understanding, is pretty much USPSA rules.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, as I was running this stage, I was supposed to have a scorekeeper working with me as I was ROing the stage, and I ended up doing it all on my own.
So
what we actually did is we had the shotgun and the handgun had been dumped in the barrels, and so when they finished shooting with the rifle, we would safe the rifle. I'd call all clear, and we'd go down score tape and reset. And then I'd have the shooter come back, and we'd safe the handgun, safe the shotgun, and then get the next shooter going.
Okay, we always did the guns first. We got the guns cleared from the range, and then we let the squad come up and do what we had to do. That's
normally what we would do, but with only one person running a very busy stage, we found that it just ran a lot smoother that way. Because then, while we're clearing the handgun and shotgun, the next shooter is up and he's taking his sight pictures with his rifle and checking that he's got his optics turned on and everything.
Right.
And then, as soon as we've got the other two guns off the range, I come over. We ready the rifle, set it down, ready the handgun, holster it, go over, grab the shotgun, and run the stage.
So are the bulk of the stages that you've shot so far in Three Gun all lateral movement?
A lot of them are, and some of that's just the way that the bays are set up, the range that we use. Mm-hmm. But I will link over my videos from a couple of the stages that we shot that were not.
Oh yeah, please do. I've seen some of your other ones, but I don't know if I remember seeing any that were other than lateral. You're gonna have to get up here to Kanekistan because, like, of our eight stages that we've got planned, only one is gonna have lateral movement, and that's so that I can take advantage of a 200 meter, bay. You'll have pistol, and then you'll move laterally to the left to your shotgun, pull it out of the barrel, shoot the steel, put it back in the barrel, then continue to your sniper mat and take some sniper shots. Might do it with my bolt action 308, but I might just have people do it with their own ARs and tell them expect to shoot like 100 meters with your AR. If not, it'll be 200 meters with my bolt gun. Just whether or not I want to do with
whether
the ammo.
Use it as a stage gun?
Yeah, it'll be a staged gun. It'll be there, three rounds, there's your plate. If you don't get it in three rounds, well, you don't get the points, and you burned up time. So that's up in the air. I'm going to discuss more with Matthew and Bolivar about that. But everything else, like, have you watched any videos from the Rest of Goose Gun Club, like, let's say, the Nationals?
I watched the video that Matthew put up of the Nationals. It was, like, 10 minutes long.
Yep, that's the one I was going to direct you to. And to anybody else, if you haven't seen Matthew's video yet of the Nationals, go check it out. It's him and David and Owen shooting, and you see it all, and you see the best of it. You saw the tanks and the APCs and the house and the maze and the boat and the transports.
Well, yes, all those, you had some awesome stages. I was sad that I couldn't come up and shoot it.
Picture that, Brian, but with three guns.
Oh, hell yes.
the boat, for example.
Sorry, Matthew.
What? That's fine.
Okay, good.
The boat's going to be shotgun rifle pistol. The maze is going to be shotgun rifle pistol. The transport trailer is going to be shotgun rifle pistol.
There's going to be a lot of shotgun rifle pistol, but I have to tell you, we're running really long. So I guess it's time to move on to listener feedback. But Brian, before we do, tell us what show. Tell us about your show. Get listeners over to your show too, because you've got an awesome show. So plug yourself, man. This is your time to be shameless.
Listen to Buzz Killington.
I'm always shameless. I've learned that from Trevor.
Perfect.
But no, I co-host the Politics and Guns podcast. There's four of us really, really doing everything over there. Paul Lathrop is the grumpy trucker who started it all. And about a year ago, he brought on Toby and then me. And now we've got Sticks and Stones Survival. And we get to cover pretty much whatever we want.
When's Raquel coming back?
I don't know that she is.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm not in a position to be able to be able to say that, because those are the things that Paul handles. I just do my content and usually edit together the midweek episodes.
So you're saying she might be gone?
I honestly don't know.
Fair enough.
But you know,
it's just nice to have a female on a podcast. There are
that's
a few
why
out
we
there,
have you on, Trev.
Oh, listen to this. The skinny guy makes the manly joke.
That's what Owen was for.
He's not even here to defend himself. He's going to hit you with his sword. You know that, right? It's okay. It's covered in foam, so it's no problem.
It's probably a foam sword, so it's okay.
It was nice knowing you, Brian, either way.
Did you see what he did to that TV with that stick? Man.
Oh, right. I don't watch LARPing videos.
Oh, funny. All right, carry on. Politics and Guns.
Yeah, so we get to cover whatever we want. Sticks has been doing his Women with Gun series. He's gotten some great interviews out of there. Paul likes to cover a lot of news, and he's done some really good politics roundtables with some interesting people. And I call myself the Guns and Gear editor, because that's where most of my focus lies. I've got stuff piling up right now that I've got to start doing gear reviews on that I've been playing with all summer.
And you also have a special little segment if somebody makes the news. Tell us about that.
My political contribution is pretty much limited to my Imbecile of the Week segment, where I find somebody who's done or said something really stupid in the news. Sometimes it's 5 or 6 people, just because I can't make my mind. And I 2 weeks ago, yes, that was basically everybody on the internet for going stupid about the George Zimmerman trial.
Right.
But I pick it and I talk a little bit about them and why they're wrong, and I endeavor to just mock them severely. And
how do I get this job? Where do I apply?
I will tell you how I ended up podcasting. I didn't even know what a podcast was, but Toby, who I actually know from playing Call of Duty against each other several years ago.
Nerd alert.
Yes, I'll take it.
All right.
But Toby was sending me all these things for these podcasts, and I'm like, what the hell's a podcast? Until I actually pulled up and listened to an episode of Politics and Guns, and I sent Paul a message on Facebook, said, hey, would you take any content submissions? And he says, well, sure. You know, do up a segment. And so my first segment was a 15-minute thing about the manners in which the UN was attempting to direct the presidential election here in the States. And next thing I know, Paul's got me as a co-host on the show, and I'm doing stuff regularly. So it's been a blast.
Very cool. Yeah, it is kind of fun, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. And, you know, I get to troll the interwebs to find somebody who said or did something stupid and then mock them for it. It really doesn't get much better than that.
I was just going
to
say.
A SHOT Show.
Well, that's always fun.
I went to media day at the range, and I was like the one person who showed up who was dressed for 20 Fahrenheit. So what is that, about minus 6 or 7?
About that, yeah.
Something
Canadian.
Like that.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas, when normally it would be in the 50s or 60s Fahrenheit.
Did you have people asking to buy your coat?
No.
Oh, well, that's good.
Because they just left.
They just left. Ooh, this is cold. We're out of here.
It was frigid. It was windy. And I came dressed for it and thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Good.
That's how I decided on the FNX 45, is the double stack 45 that I wanted. I used Media Day at the range to go shopping.
Yeah. Nice.
That's one good use for it. Well, listen, yes. you gonna stick around for the listener feedback?
Sure.
Very good. Trevor, do you have anything more you want to ask Brian before we move on?
No, it's...
No, I will not sleep with you, Trevor. Sorry.
That's not what you said last night.
Okay, so listener feedback. This one comes to us from Luke Giroux.
Never heard of him.
And he writes, gentlemen. He's trying to be like 10X.
Gentlemen.
I had the privilege... I'm going to mute
it's
you guys.
A liberal use of the term.
Very. Of course, liberal is a four-letter word here on Slamfire Radio. Anyhow, he writes, gentlemen, I had the privilege of attending the 2013 IMSA Canadian Nationals held at the Rusty Goose Gun Club last week, which I must say was the best match I've been to in the 10 years I've been shooting as a member of IPSC. This wasn't a surprise, as I already know the caliber of the matches put on by the Rusty Goose Gun Club, but this still went far beyond what I was expecting. I think this sentiment was shared by several other participants.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I think it was. Lots of guys were saying how it was cool.
Cool.
From what I could see, you guys were involved in several aspects of the Nationals, from the setup to logistics, and probably the part you're most comfortable with, the promotion. You guys are true ambassadors to the shooting sports, and for that I extend a big thank you for all the time you put in volunteering and getting people to be actively involved. How are you feeling there, Trev? Your head getting big? Or
he doesn't know what he's talking about. I did nothing. You did nothing.
Kudos to you guys. You found a way to make use of Trevor's relentless self-promotion. So,
and how? He continues on. During the week spent at Nationals, I got the opportunity to hang out with Trevor and Matt. I think these two were my two new good luck charms. On day one of shooting, I realized I was way out of practice, and to say the least, it was a crappy day on the range. On day two of shooting, I decided to wear one of my Slamfire Radio t-shirts delivered by the celebrities themselves at the range. Lo and behold, my shooting was much better. Now, some people would argue that it was the fact that Doc was in my squad and his advice and pointers were awesome, but I think the shirt had something to do with it. I don't know, I think it was maybe the fact that you had practiced the day before, and so now you were feeling more like you were shooting, but if you want to give it the credit to the shirt, hey, we'll take it.
No, I think he's right in giving it to Doc Murray Gardner. He's like the grandfather of IPSC in Canada.
I would probably concur that, yeah, definitely. He continues on, the best, however, came at the banquet. After sitting through an absolutely wonderful meal, and I got to stop here and go, drool. Oh my goodness, it was the best food I have had in my life.
Roasted
ever.
Whole hog on a spit.
With maple dressing of some sort. It was amazing.
Say, we do the whole hog on a spit thing in the Philippines. It's a national dish, I think.
Nice.
Awesome.
We're having the same dish for the provincials, Matthew, so it must have went over well.
Nice. So you're one of the provincials then?
Yeah. Mark Drew actually just booked a room for him and I.
Oh, cool.
You going?
Yeah, no, I'll sleep in the trunk. That's cool. Yeah, thanks for asking. No, I'm good. Don't worry about it. Let's continue on with the email here.
Are we in a fight?
Yeah. Yes, good. We are. And
that's
watch
a cute fight.
So he says, after sitting through an absolutely wonderful meal and watching seemingly everyone but me get an award. Yes, it did feel like that to me, too. How about you, Trevor? It was like everybody got an award. It was like a participation event, almost. It was crazy. There were like a billion awards handed out.
Yeah, there was like 16 guns, 15, 16 guns, some tanfoil, some STIs.
Yeah, and like 50 like plaques, and it's crazy.
I got a tub of frog lube.
I want a pistol.
You got a gun. Yeah, you want a gun.
We should talk about that in a minute. Okay, anyway, he continues on. It came time for the prizes and draws.
Other than the actual shooting, this is what many of us were looking forward to. Mr. Furlot, your dad was there?
Interesting. I guess so.
Walked up on stage and got one of the junior medal winners, that was Serge's daughter, right? To pick a name out of the ballot box. And that's when I heard my name come up as the winner of a brand new Daniel Defense V5 M4 carbine. To say the least, I was ecstatic, and I still am, and will be for a while. So I'm writing in for... Sorry.
You said he should be.
He should be, yes. He goes, I'm writing in for two reasons, because the last four paragraphs wasn't enough. We're going to continue on. First, I want to say a big thank you to the Restigouche Gun Club for the raffle. The rifle will be put to good use. Its first competition will likely be the three-gun you guys are holding on October 19th. Second, I want to especially thank you guys at Slamfire Radio. If it wasn't for the announcement on the podcast, I, along with several others, likely wouldn't have known about the AR-15 raffle unless we physically showed up at the Nationals or the banquet. While I did purchase extra tickets in person, both at the Restigouche table and at the banquet, the winning ticket was the one I purchased online in April after hearing the announcement on the show. Essentially, I wouldn't have this brand new rifle if it wasn't for you guys, so again, thank you. I look forward to much more awesome content on your show. See you on the range soon. So, Luke, that was a fantastic novel. When are you getting it published?
Yeah.
No, it was a good email, man. That was good. And you're absolutely welcome. And, yeah.
It's not brand new anymore.
It's definitely not. No.
No, now that I know who the owner is, I had no problem taking it out and shooting it. I wouldn't, you know, if it was some guy I didn't know or whatever, he was promised a new rifle, I wouldn't have shot it. But I figured since it's Luke, I would take it out and break it in and cover it in Slipstream for him. So really, I did him a favor by shooting his new gun first.
That sounds right.
Sure.
Luke, he lives at...
Oh, he knows. Huh. And Matthew, thank you for donating a Press Check Ventures 50 cal mag.
I certainly did.
That's right.
I donated
his...
the wrong one, unfortunately, but that's okay. He can still keep it.
Why? What do you mean?
I had a test and eval one that I could have given out where I drilled the hole in the wrong spot. So it was It just doesn't affect anything. But, you know, I can't sell the one that I didn't give away, but I could have given away the one that I couldn't sell.
Whatever. That's all right. I'm sure it's going to sit around until he gets his first Beowulf upper anyway, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah, he'll have fun with that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Cool. So that takes us into our best iTunes review.
Well, it does, except that we want to talk about that I won a pistol at the Nationals?
You won a pistol at the Nationals. So
there we go.
So we had several sponsors donate firearms. We had an 870 Tactical. We had a stainless steel Savage Axis. We had a beautiful, beautiful Browning A-bolt with a bench rest stock, adjustable cheek piece, nice heavy barrel, and .223. Man, did I ever have my eyes on that. And then we had about on the table itself, we had a Para combat size 45 single stack. We had some 45 made in the Philippines or something. We had a
Arms Corps. They're damn good guns.
Oh yeah, I don't know if it was.
I promise.
Yes, it was. It was an Arms Corps. Yeah. We had a M&P field kit 9mm, and then we had 10 little Beretta 22s, Series 70, Model 70. Some people call them a cheetah. They're in Canada, Brian, this gun would in its original configuration would be considered a prohib. You're still allowed to own it. You're still allowed to take it to the range if
you had it before 1992 or whatever.
Which
yeah,
is what
is
I
that
was
because
about
of
to say.
The
yes.
Barrel length?
No, I wanted to cut you off one more time.
You didn't get enough in apparently. So
no, do you want me to do it again?
Nope. So they rebarreled them and put
with
in
6-inch barrels.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Not even 4 1/4, which wouldn't have looked as ridiculous, but this thing looks like something Han Solo carries on Star Wars.
Yep, I concur. Yeah. Anyway, he got one of these little guns. There was 10 certificates on the table, so. The certificates that weren't on the table was one of our platinum sponsors, Freedom Ventures, the owner of Freedom Ventures, who, by the way, was a co-match director for this match. He gave away some high-end stuff. How many, Matthew? 3-4 guns?
Sure.
10. They were all 10 Fogils and STIs.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the first stuff to get drawn.
And I was actually kind of glad not to win that because, to be perfectly honest, I wanted that little piece of crap 22 pistol.
Yeah, I wanted that 870 or the 8-bolt. Yeah, you're right, he would. So
I didn't want anything else. Well, there was an 870. Who wants an 870? It's
I
Remington.
Wanted that 870. I'm basically
Remington.
Trying to build that 870.
Nah. Get a Mossberg, be done with it.
Five-star
I
review.
Concur. Mossberg's the win.
5-star Woot! Review.
Yeah.
This one, right. This one comes to us from the Conquistador.
Yeah, Bolivar 9611. Wow. Is that the Conquistador? No.
Yes, it is the Conquistador. So okay. He says, like, this is how...
This is how much he loves you.
This is not his first review, I don't think.
No, it's not his first review.
That's what I was going to say. This isn't his first review. He must be getting bored shooting service conditions. Maybe he should...
What else are you going to do when you shoot service conditions? You might as well troll the internet.
I just need to do something fun. You know, go shoot it sick.
There you go. So he says, Matt and Trevor babble about guns while Cerebral Owen sits in the back and plots his dominion of the world. Well, okay. Maybe that's not exactly how it happens. Okay, let's see. Be funny and mention Trevor. Trevor bought a 1911. All right. So the only thing in there that's accurate is Matthew
Owen sits in the back and plots the dominion of the world.
Matthew and Trevor babble, and Owen plots the dominion of the world. That's true. Yeah. So.
No, and Trevor did buy a 1911.
I did not buy a 1911.
Yeah, you did.
You bought a 2011.
Thank you, Brian.
There is a difference, as I was educating a couple of people commenting on it.
There are several differences. Now,
that's right. They took a Fiero and put a Ferrari kit on it.
It's not like a
Smith & Wesson Sigma.
It's not like a Smith & Wesson Sigma and a Glock. Those two have more in common than a 1911 and a 2011 do. Truly.
Yeah, the 2011, you basically get a 1911 trigger and a lot of 1911 looks on the top end, but you get, you know, modern magazines and, you
double
know,
stack.
a ramped barrel and such.
Mm-hmm.
Fully. You know, it's too bad. What is that chambered in?
40.
40. Okay, so it's a limited gun.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
You know, if you were down here, I believe that 140 millimeter magazines hold 18 rounds of 40. I want to say something like that.
I wouldn't even know how to do my round counts.
Well, you can't count much past potato, so no, I don't know how you would do
nine,
it.
10 potatoes.
Potato.
That's it. That's why we had
You're limited to 10 on it, aren't you?
That's correct.
Oh, that's a travesty.
It certainly is.
So.
You know how many kittens' lives were saved since they restricted our magazine capacity?
Zero!
That's exactly how many. Man.
Yeah.
How about some shout-outs and goodbyes, McClatchy?
Well, I've got one for Jeff A. He's a listener coming to Woodstock. He contacted us on Facebook, and Owen and I are going to try and meet up with him and talk about his ATC. So that could be interesting.
When is that again?
That's going to be Saturday morning. This Saturday morning, so like 2 days from now.
I got nothing to do. Wife's gonna
come on. Help us build mags too. We're having a mag building party.
It's a possibility, but the gas money I spend to go see you guys is money I don't have to spend on the best sushi in Canada.
Well, are you coming down for the IPSC match Tuesday night?
Yes.
Well, why don't you come down Saturday and just stay?
And just stay? Oh, okay.
I'm fine inviting you to Owen's for the week. Well, you could even come back up. You could even come back up to the house with me if you wanted to.
While you stay, what are you doing?
I'm not staying down there. No, I'm going down this weekend, and I'm going back down on Tuesday.
All right, we'll work it out after the show.
Very good.
So he's got the ATC.
He does, yeah.
Wilderness?
Yes. Nice. It'll still be interesting to talk to him about it. So
Thanks, Rafe.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. That's the show for this week.
No,
I've got one. Oh, well, see, you didn't write it down here. How am I supposed to know?
It's better this way.
Okay.
So to JP that I met at the range today, Matthew, I think he had 3 Savage Axises and 3 different calibers there.
Nice.
And he was shooting a... 223, and I told him about your load, but he's really adamant that the 1 in 9 is going to work better with heavier bullets, and he had loaded some 69 grain.
Sure, my half inch groups at 100 just clearly aren't good enough. So
no,
let him do it his way.
Yeah, well, and I explained to him what you did, and he's going to try his stuff and see what he gets. And
of course.
I told him how painfully simple your recipe was. I also pointed him in the direction of your YouTube channel because I believe you have a video on how to do a trigger job there, don't you?
I do, yes.
Perfect, because I explained the you know, how to improve. Well, I explained that you knew how to improve the Savage Axis trigger to basically turn it into an AccuTrigger. So, yeah.
Well,
so
sort of. It's not that good, but it's still fairly. It's better than what you get out of the box.
Right. It's twice as good as what comes out of the box. So, we shot a solid 3 hours of rifle today.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Suck.
Hey, I got 3 weeks left of perpetual vacation before I've got to, you know,
knuckle down, get back to work.
Yeah.
Or, see, I average 60 to 90 hours a week of work during the summer, so I've been envious of you all summer long.
Like, I feel for you. I don't feel bad for you, but I feel for you, you know. So JP, I hope you decided to check out the box.
Yeah, very good. Brian, do you have any shout-outs you want to, you know, seeing as I cut Trevor off, you know, if I try to cut you off, you'll probably jump in and say you got one too, so I better ask.
No, he'll wait until you start, Brian.
I don't have a shout-out. I have an announcement.
All right.
It is that
announcements go at the beginning of the show. I'm sorry. It's too late.
Yeah, too bad. I'm going to talk anyways. I'm the guest. You do what I say.
It's like having Trucker on here.
It kind of is.
Oh, that's a bit harsh, don't you think?
Oh, not for Trucker, no.
Anyways, Utah Defensive Pistol League, Cedar Valley Multi-Gun Match. You can look me up on Facebook. All my videos from that are public. Take a look at them. And Canucks are invited. This is our big three-gun match for the year. And, well, if you want to find out anything, just message me on Facebook and we'll talk about it. But
my wife is convinced that we're coming.
Yeah, that's what I gather from speaking with her.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. She's not normally up for this sort of stuff.
I look forward to seeing you guys there. But I'm sure that between, you know, that within our community here in Utah, that we can find people that will share guns with you guys, and full capacity magazines.
Nice.
So, well, we're trying to promote the heck out of the match, and I would love to have Canucks show up as well. That would be awesome.
It's Canucks, not Canucks. Canucks.
From Utah,
as an umbrella.
We speak differently, so deal with it.
I will. All right. Well, thank you again for everybody who's listened. Please go like us on the Facebook page. The local library currently has 244 likes, and we have 137.
We suck.
So come on. Step it up, boys. Let's go. Press the like button. Seriously.
Yeah, the other thing
that it could be is that we are demographic.
We only have 144 listeners.
That's possible, too. I was just going to say, I was hoping to be a bit more optimistic and think that our demographics simply are the type of people who don't have Facebook accounts. So, you know, because they're manly men and don't care about that sort of crap. But
maybe.
But I think it's probably more likely we got 137 listeners.
Yeah,
so.
That's probably.
Be sure to check out the other great shows on both the CRR Network and the Crusader Podcast Network. There's tons of great material on those. And Trevor's going to read a list of the shows off the network page now.
Well, right now on the front page, here's what we currently have listed on the new network. First one is the Warrior Ethos podcast. Never heard of it. Sounds lame. Then there's the Black Man with a Gun. Canadian Service Conditions Radio. Never heard of it. Sounds boring. Gunfighter Cast. I love that show. Modern Rifleman Radio. That's a new show by Ken, the host of Rimfire Podcast. Modern Self-Protection. New Shooter Canada. Politics and Guns. Never heard of it. Oh, those guys.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. So, yay. That one. Yeah.
Well, three hosts are excellent. Slamfire Radio. Definitely wankers. The Rimfire Podcast. And all I can say is, Kowalski, you better not pod fade on us. We need some new shows. And don't cry to me about your training. Just find the time.
You know what we should do? Have Kowalski on and me and him just talk Rimfire for a whole hour.
I've that for a while. I think I reached
Trevor
out.
Trevor snores
once
into the microphone.
Yeah, no kidding. Starts throwing 45 brass at the monitor. Talk about something cool.
Hey, I love my 597. That thing ran all day yesterday, all day today. The only malfunctions were ammo related. I had two duds. Nothing. Love that gun. And finally, the other show that was on there, When the Balloon Goes Up. So not a clue what that's about, but I'll check it out.
I've been talking with the guy who hosts that, and he seems like a pretty cool guy. I've not listened to the show at all, but apparently it's all about guns for the most part.
I was just going to say, what's the premise about the whole balloon going up? I don't get it.
I haven't asked Ron, but...
Maybe it's because he's full of hot air. I don't know. I don't know the guy, but I'm insulting him already.
Like many shooters, he was exposed to firearms at an early age by his father, a retired police officer, but he didn't take shooting seriously until after having kids. Having kids will make you want to shoot stuff for sure.
Oh, and he shoots IDPA.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I still hear nothing about a balloon.
I guess you'll have to check out the show to figure it out.
I guess I'm going to have to.
So,
very good.
Okay, one last thing. We forgot to mention this early on. Topic for next week's show that I would like to cover is... for Canadians and Americans, because they have the choice. At least they can exercise the choice. We can't. But let's say, theoretically, in Canada, if you could carry, would you? Why or why not? So listeners, write in and tell us, yes, I would carry. Here's why. No, I would carry. And this is why I wouldn't.
And why? What would you do to prepare for it?
Yeah.
Write that down if you think of it. And just for interesting note, maybe write down what your choice of firearm would be.
And your thoughts about, I think we should be allowed to carry if they did this or if they did that. Should be a free-for-all? Should there be regulations? What regulations could you live with? That sort of thing. Our American listeners as well, what did you go through before you decided to carry? Did you just put a gun in the holster because you were allowed to, or did you take it more seriously than that? What did you do, consult with family, lawyers, stuff like that? So we want to hear next week's show all about would you carry, why or why not?
Yep, very good. Cool. Well, that wasn't the last thing.
That'll be interesting.
Because the last thing is, don't forget to sign up to the NFA or the CSSA. Actually, I prefer you sign up to both of them. And Trevor deletes it. You're a tool. It's okay. I already know the acronyms, man.
Guns are tools.
I am waiting for my CSSA membership card to show up.
Oh, interesting. That is cool. So, even if our American listeners can get a CSSA membership, come on, Canadians. Go sign up for yours. It's a great way to make sure you maintain your firearm freedoms here in Canada.
And I'm holding my NRA membership card in my hand right now.
Of course you are. It's just sitting right there.
Yep, we the people.
All right. Well, you've done it again. You've wasted an hour and a half.
And we're sorry.
To us. We're very sorry.
I had fun.
Make sure to check out all the listeners too. Yeah, if Brian didn't annoy you, go listen to his show.
And if he did, go listen anyway.
Yeah, because Paul and Toby are cool.
Yeah.
Who has the manliest voice in all of Second Amendment podcasting.
You got it. He does. He makes Stan sound like a... No, I can't say. I cannot best it.
All right, Trevor. This is your cue here, man.
All right.
Take someone shooting.
Yeah! Ron Burgundy.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's
time to get a gun. Don't hang up on me again.
I was actually just about ready to start, but that's okay.
I could hear... the mouse pointer going over the end
over
call
the hang up button. Yeah. Bye-bye.